A few weeks ago, the server side ran an article on alternatives to Jenkins and mentioned a number of the players in the industry, cloud-based offerings, offerings from JetBrains, offerings from GitLab. And one of the offerings that we didn't mention was Shippable from JFrog. And that's partly my fault. I really wasn't aware of JFrog's continuous integration offerings. So I actually got a call from the people over at JFrog, and they put me in touch with Avi Cavalli. And we chatted a little bit about what JFrog's position is in terms of continuous integration, how it works with their Artifactory tool, and how people can start using Shippable. And so anyways, got Ari on the line here. My first question is, where exactly does Shippable and continuous integration fit in terms of JFrog?
I think from a macro perspective, let me just rewind back to why JFrog even acquired Shippable. And so the way we kind of look at the world is, I mean, we have this kind of bold vision that we want to make software delivery or software liquid. And it just means that we want to be able to do continuous delivery. We want to kind of remove all the friction in the process. Now, JFrog has a lot of tools, or had already a lot of tools in the process. And I call them, kind of think of it as, if it's a pipeline, it's the control valves. So we had the Artifactory, where it's a system of record of binaries. We have X-Ray, which is a security scanning tool. We have distribution. So these are all pieces that are things that need to happen. What we were really missing was the orchestration piece of how to even connect all of these. We left that completely to the user to decide, how the customer to decide how to do it. So we started realizing that choice also limits us in terms of where we can actually take the platform, because eventually what you really want to do is to improve throughput and measure the throughput that you're getting in your software supply chain. So that was the reason why I thought at that point, as a co-founder of Shippable, we thought like, this is a good thing. And we also saw the market was consolidating, because what's actually happening is that people initially, this was almost like a craft work, right? I mean, people just picked and chose whatever tools they want, and they somehow created a bespoke pipeline. And it's great because it's super fast to get it up and running. But at some point of time, the scale issues of this start causing problems. And when I say scale, I'm not talking about how fast things can run. It's just about how fungible it is. Can I use this in other places? So what people started realizing is, eventually what ended up happening is they ended up with thousands and thousands of custom-built scripts, and it was impossible to maintain them. And if you want to make one change, it starts causing cascading problems. So eventually, whatever pieces that they built that help them accelerate their development process or their DevOps workflows now started hampering them. And because of that, they wanted to start, you can see in the market that there's a lot of consolidation happening, because they want to kind of pick like an 80% tool that does most of the work, and they want to just focus on the edge pieces, which it doesn't do. And hopefully Microsoft is on the same path. Pretty much every, if you look at Amazon, they're on the same path. They're all trying to create a common platform to be able to manage this entire DevOps lifecycle. And JFrog is kind of in a unique position, because Artifactory is such an integral piece, and we had X-Ray and we had distribution. We had a bunch of stuff that in there, adding the CI/CD orchestration piece of it made total sense. And that's the unified vision that they're actually trying to go for.
Now, how does JFrog's Shippable continuous integration tool differentiate itself from competitors in the industry?
That's a great question. So the first thing is, I want to kind of talk about like the universality, right? I mean, JFrog has been a universal platform from day one, and we do not have an opinion on what you actually do with our platform. We don't care about what packages, we don't care about where you deploy. So that's one huge thing that some of the cloud providers don't have, like Amazon and Microsoft. They're kind of focused on, how do I create highways to bring people onto my cloud? So we are multi-cloud, hybrid cloud, whatever, I call it the Omni cloud. And so that's one huge thing from the concept perspective, was that you're not really trying to create lock-in in the system. Now, in terms of the more niche players like GitLab and you mentioned JetBrains, so two things. One is it's a fundamental philosophical difference is in terms of is code your ultimate system of record or the result of building code is the ultimate system of record. And I tend to fall on the latter aspect of it. And there are a lot of people who fall on the former. And typically those guys are coming from small teams or up and coming startups kind of a thinking because they want to be, they have a single person who manages their entire life cycle. And because they just don't have the challenges that what large enterprises have. So from a large enterprise perspective, they will never let a developer go all the way to production because there's multiple things. There's regulations, there's Sarbanes-Oxley, there's a whole bunch of other things that they have to deal with. But in just in terms, it's just separation of concerns in terms of, hey, we want to have multiple people to be able to manage this. That's the first, that's how enterprises operate. And most of the scenarios of GitLab and stuff around that start to fall apart because they use code as a way to manage everything. Now, the second problem, assuming that we're still okay to do code as everything, is that if I build software today from code, I get a result A. And if I take the same exact code base, don't change anything, and build it a week from now, I actually get a different result. And the reason for that is because today's software is all built up of dependencies, and there is no guarantee that your dependencies dependency is also creating those checkpointed kind of builds. Sometimes people just say, hey, let's just use the latest version. Your OS itself could be different depending on what patches have you installed between now and then. So if you want repeatability and you want to be in a situation where you say, look, I built something, I can guarantee even 10 years from now, I want to be able to get the same result because that's what the process of DevOps is about, repeatability, rollbacks, and all of that stuff, is that you have to have a checkpoint. And that checkpoint in our world is a binary. So yes, development processes all start from code and you can create branches, you can create tags, you can create a whole bunch of stuff. But the sheer aspect of packaging all of that stuff together at real time is a risky proposition because it might result to different results or result with different results. And that's kind of a fundamental difference. And now the third part is one of the things that is a more of a feature-like thinking is that we have an extensibility platform that we are going to be launching pretty soon. And this is part of the whole pipelines aspect of it. So one thing that we're actually doing is if you look at GitLab, the reuse of their pipelines is very, very limited. And what it is almost like, hey, I will give you a way to create scripts and execute scripts. And that's how their CI/CD thought process is. What we are after is super DevOps, which is, hey, there is no way that every single team will have an expert in DevOps. So what we think is, and it's a very niche skill, and there is very there are very few people in the world who can actually do this really well. So what we believe is we need to be able to create this central DevOps team. And they can create templates that they can actually share. And organizations inside that particular enterprise just leverages those templates. So our mindset is going more from how do I empower the super DevOps team and then allow you to build engineering scale in the organizations, which is a different path that we are taking, as opposed to you just need more engineers to be able to do all of this stuff because we just give you capabilities of writing code. I mean, that's kind of where it's a philosophically different approach. And we're all going after the same peak, but we are taking a completely different route in terms of getting there.
Now, who's the target market of a tool like Shippable? At what point in time does a team get to a critical mass and a critical size where using any continuous integration tool becomes really pivotal? And for that matter, when people start doing continuous integration, what do you see as some of the metrics for success?
So, I mean, this is more of a kind of a philosophical kind of a thinking of how we think about the market, right? So what we've seen typically is that really, really small teams, I'm talking about less than 10 people, kind of up and coming startups, those kind of things, they are more interested in build versus buy. And so what we have, our approach there has been that we have community editions of some of our software and they can use our pieces of software and they can put it together and build whatever solution they actually want to build. I mean, if you look at JCR, if you look at Community Edition of Artifactory, all of these things are targeted towards that kind of stuff. Now, where you really start seeing problems is when you start seeing that your organizations are getting to a particular size. And we see this internally at JFrog. I mean, one of the most beautiful things about our product is that we need it ourselves. And we are seeing that as, I mean, JFrog has been going through this massive growth curve in the last 18 months, where we are having, like, on a regular weekly basis, new people are joining. And we need to be able to get them up and running quickly. And that basically means, that is the definition of engineering scale problem. How quickly can a new hire in my organization deploy their first line of code into production? And that is where we are after. And so because of that, you start seeing these problems once you start getting into the 50, 100 kind of a developer range. And so the place where we, if you talk about adoption, we are, yes, absolutely interested in the 5, 10, 15 kind of people thing, but where we really think our revenue growth is going to be in, is in that spectrum. But you have to seed the market, and that's where the community editions and all of those things come in. So we want them to be familiar with our tools. And once they start seeing the problems that we saw growing, I mean, JFrog grew from the same 1, 2, 3 developers to over 500, 600 people right now in the organization in total. So I think we are starting to see those evolution, and we are kind of building the features out there. Now, the beauty of it is the platform is actually built. We see adoption like the Bank of America, the big financial organizations like Fidelity and all of those things. We also see adoption all the way to the other end of the spectrum where it's a brand new startup coming in. And that's where the cloud offering of JFrog targets into more of that kind of an area. And as the organizations are much bigger, where the enterprise plus and all of that stuff, we see a lot of traction where our on-premises E plus product actually goes. So we are kind of targeting a broad spectrum, but the point I'm trying to really make is DevOps really starts to become hampering your productivity when you start having this engineering scale. And that's what we have seen in the market so far.
Now, moving away from specifically shippable and JFrog for a minute, I was just wondering what you're seeing in the community as a whole, the whole IT community, in terms of changes that are currently happening because of COVID, because of the pandemic.
So actually, I have two thoughts on that. And ironically, I'm actually doing a meetup day after tomorrow. And its title is COVID, the Antithesis of DevOps. And that's one aspect just in the DevOps space of it. And I can answer your second part, which is where I see the consolidation and industry going to. So on the first part, so if you really think about DevOps, right, their fundamental emphasis is that it's about culture and collaboration and kind of small teams working together, which is multifunctional in nature, and they can kind of self-sustain themselves in terms of all of it. And then you try to build automation to kind of accelerate that process. Now, if you look at COVID, what it has done to DevOps is that social distancing is the basis of it, which means it's the exact opposite of what DevOps is trying to do, is that small teams working together, collaborating continuously. Now, that I call that a synchronous collaboration. Now, what's going to happen with COVID is that that collaboration is going to become completely asynchronous. And what I mean by asynchronous is people are no longer going to kind of work at the same time together. They're all going to work at different phases. And part of it is going to be just their internal prioritization. I mean, for the foreseeable future, we see that this is going to be the new norm of life. So that basically means the process of creating checkpoints and sharing systematically those checkpoints becomes even more important. Because you no longer can say, hey, just can you give me an IP address of your test server? Because the point when I provisioned those test servers as a test person could have been 4 hours ago, and I might not even be online when you're pinging me about the test server. So I need to have a systematic way to exchange information. So that's where the system of record of the database of DevOps, which we call as Artifactory, is going to come into picture. And so we're seeing that the way people thought about DevOps, which is all about tribal communication that's happening in a very localized fashion needs to become a lot more sophisticated. Slack is no longer going to be enough in terms of exchanging information because we just won't be together at the same time. And this is, I mean, we used to have this problem with remote teams, but even within the same city, it's starting to become like remote teams. And that's where we see our platform is a lot more suited because we have this whole concept of checkpoints, which is not what the rest of the DevOps tools are also. So that's the talk that I'm going to do in a couple of days. That being said, on the flip side, in terms of where startups are going and where there anybody who is kind of efficient about their sales process and what they were really targeting will probably survive. And if you are kind of just buying your customers by extreme marketing and all of those kind of stuff, those are the companies that I probably think will technically fail, because I think your sales process need to be super, super efficient in order to survive in this kind of an environment. And either you have a ton of revenue that you're already making, because of which you can raise a lot of money, and you see companies raising a lot of money just because they want to kind of have insurance over the next 18, 24 months. And I also feel like there is going to be a lot of consolidation, because it's amazing. Like I've started seeing this in the last 1 month, the number of headhunters who are reaching out to me saying that they have leadership candidates from startups and stuff has just gone up exponentially. Like, I pretty much get on a daily basis 5 to 6 emails and solicitations through LinkedIn saying, I have this CTO, I have this VP of engineering from a startup. Are you interested to talk to them? So I'm seeing that there's a lot of movement, and maybe those startups are not failing, but people are starting to get restless because they want to be in a more stable kind of role. So I see that there are two things that will happen. One is just the cash burn and all of that stuff might cause a lot of these companies problems. But I also see that there's going to be a lot of shift of talent towards more stable kind of models where they don't want to be taking the risk in this kind of environment. And I see that happening more before the companies start failing due to cash burn.
And to be honest, that's kind of what I'm seeing as well. And I would expect that we're probably going to see a lot of consolidation in the industry, especially in the cloud native computing space. Anyways, for more information about JFrog, head over to jfrog.com, and you can always follow them on Twitter @JFrog.